Welcome to Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Lagerman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli coming up from the Black Hole in Oakland as the Jags get ready for the Colts this week in Week 7. Lots to get to. Jags on the road. We just finished the Doug Marrone show discussing the importance of a divisional game on the road, Week 7 before the bye in a tight division. Games don't get easier down the line in the NFL season, so you need some of these. You need this one on the road at Indy.
Well, and most importantly, I don't say this very often. I thought the Jets game was a game that you should get. I think this is a game you should get. And particularly with their quarterback situation, their defense is not very good. Their defense, I think, is bottom of the league rankings-wise. Their offense is struggling with a young quarterback. You know, it is what it is. I mean, the Colts are not a very good football team. And if you want to be a good football team, then you need to beat teams in your division that aren't good football teams.
Right.
And I don't care whether you're playing at home or whether you're playing at their place. This is a game that you need to get, and in particular because of where the division is at. And you let one get by in the New York Jets game, and this is one that you do not need to let get by, because if you do, the difference between 3-4 and 4-3 is immense.
Let's go to the Black Hole in Oakland. Nope, we'll go to there in just a moment. My apologies. We'll get to Tony Baselli shortly. He's standing by out in Oakland for the game against the Chiefs. The Chiefs and the Raiders.
Yeah,
tonight.
The Chiefs, JP.
The Chiefs,
good.
Not
good.
The Broncos.
You're coachable.
Thank you very much. That's one trait I do have. How do the Jaguars score if they can't run? I asked Tony this last week.
Well, here's the deal. You got to start playing like a real offense. You know, especially in last week's game against the Rams, where they come out and they bring in an extra defensive lineman, and they're playing, you know, Doug called it a 6-2. It's essentially a 4-4 from a personnel standpoint, four defensive linemen, four linebackers, and three defensive backs.
But there's six guys up on the line kind of thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
And when you face that kind of defense, there's limited amount of coverages that you can play. And for the most part, the coverage is cover zero and cover one. And when teams give you that, you need to throw the ball and win. And they didn't do it. And if you're going to be, you know, I'm not saying a prolific offense. I'm just saying a functional offense. You need to win in those situations. And the Jaguars didn't do that, weren't able to do that. And, you know, and Tony, Tony, I know we got you up now. You were saying that, you know, he had a belief the offense was going to have a good game. And we were like, okay, what are you basing it on? He said, hope. You know,
so much for hope.
Yeah, and you know, hope doesn't work. And look, I mean, this offense has got to—it's got to play clean. It's got to play efficient. And the reality is, because they're not prolific, the one thing that they cannot do is make mistakes. For example, the Blake Bortles interception on the throw to Mercedes Lewis—he can't make—he can't do that. You know, so that's what they got to do. Just look, just be clean. Don't turn the ball over, and get a little bit more out of what you've gotten so far.
That's the Tony Baselli voice from Oakland at the Black Hole tonight, Thursday Night Football. The Chiefs at 5-1 and the Raiders, a two-win record coming in, 2-4 for the Oakland Raiders. We'll get to that game coming up, Tony. But I'll start, as we just talked with Logs here about, I asked you last week, if the Jags' run game isn't there, are you confident they can score?
And what was my answer? No.
No.
And I think that's what we saw. We saw that against San Diego, but the L.A. Rams, sorry. I got a bunch of AFC West
long
teams
flight,
out here. Long flight, long way away. So I literally drew a blank. But the Rams, and the Rams, like Jeff said, they basically lined up and said, we don't think you can throw the ball. It was a goal line defense in the middle of the field. And if you can't take advantage of that, that's an issue, because what coordinators will do is they'll turn that tape on and say, all right, this is how we beat this team. And we're going to, until you prove that you can throw against a defense, until you prove you can do something successfully, you're going to see defenses like that throughout the rest of the year.
Also this week, to compound things a bit, the injury report. Brandon Leonard's still on it. That's one thing. Leonard Fournette, of course, is on it with the ankle issue. He said he's going to cut some tomorrow and see where it goes from there. He's confident he's going to play.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he plays, though.
Who, Fournette?
Yeah.
Surprised if he plays.
Really? Yeah. I would say just the opposite.
You don't think he's surprised if he doesn't?
I'd be surprised if he would, because you got a bye week next week. The amount of pain that he was in on the field. Look, I don't know anything. I don't have any inside information or anything like that. But from the way things are looking, you're talking a franchise back here. I mean, the entire engine of the offense. Are you going to want to take, the best weapon you have on offense, because you got to think long term? Are you going to take your best offensive weapon and play him against a team? It is a divisional game, but against a team, game you need. But it's against a team that you should be able to beat, with or without Leonard Fournette, okay?
Oh, I disagree with that 100%. He is the offense, Jeff. I don't think you can say that they should win that game with or without Leonard Fournette.
Well, I think Chris Ivory can handle it. I think T.J. Yeldon can give you quality snap, because, look, you got to have him the whole way. And here's a great opportunity to where he can get 2 weeks off. Look, maybe the ankle's not that bad.
Sure.
Maybe he does play. I could be wrong. But, when you've got, a top back in the league who has to leave the game, who was in that much pain, to play him the week before the bye, it would be surprising.
I will say this is why they've had T.J. Yeldon on the shelf here a bit, to have him fresh if something like this were to happen.
Oh, he should be real fresh.
Yeah, you would think. Now, the whole point of this was the injury report also includes Marquise Lee this week. He has not practiced with a knee issue, so – if he's not available, where do you go at receiver all of a sudden? We might get our first dose of Jalen Strong this week.
Well, or Aurelius Ben, may have to get more snaps.
Aurelius Alan Hearns needs to step up.
Aurelius Ben is capable. Well, look, here's the reality. The quarterback's got to step up. The offensive coordinator needs to step up, to put the players in the best position to succeed.
Wow, calling out the coordinator. Not only the quarterback, but the coordinator too, huh?
Well, the reason I say that, and I'm not trying to call him out per se, but I'm saying, the challenge falls on all of them. Right. The challenge falls on the quarterback. The challenge falls on the coordinator to have the confidence to call plays that a quarterback, should execute. You know what I mean?
But, Jeff, didn't you?
You can't, because here's the reality, Tony. I mean, against that defense that Wade Phillips had, and you've got cover zero and cover one, you should throw the ball, right?
We get to the line and change it and call it, right?
You should throw the ball.
Right.
And when you throw the ball, you should feel confident that, look, here's how they're going to play us. If that's how they're going to do it, you should say, next time we get that, we see that out on the field, in the ear of Blake Bortles, say, look, let's go, pass here, and here's what it's going to be. Let's roll. Let's complete.
I don't think they have any, but Jeff, I think it speaks to the fact that they have no confidence.
Yeah, and you know what? If that's the case, then
is the case?
But here's the point. My point is that if that's the case, if you have that little of confidence, then shouldn't you play somebody else?
Well, Chad Henne's the only other person in there to play.
Then that's what you do, right?
Are they confident he can throw against it?
Well, I don't know that. But, my whole point is, if you don't have the confidence to do it with your quarterback who's playing, then you should find a quarterback that you have the confidence to do it in. If your belief in him is at that level.
Well, hasn't that ship already sailed? That was a decision to make before, whether in the offseason or in training camp, if you felt like you needed to go a different direction. And the way I view it is, he's your quarterback. But where I do agree with Jeff is, it's going to be hard to win games if you can't throw against zero coverage and single high man across the board. It's just going to be difficult, because teams are basically going to stack the box and say, you're not going to run the ball. And if you look at the numbers, and I know Leonard Fournette ended up with 130 yards, but two of those carries were for 93, 37 on 19 carries after that. The run game was ineffective after the start of that game.
Yeah, take out the 75-yarder, and it's a different-looking stat line.
Well, he took two out.
I know, but you know what I mean.
Well, I took out the 75-yarder and the 18-yarder.
Well, next week, if he has 150 yards on 15 carries, and one of those carries was for 100, but so I say, 14 carries.
No, but Jeff, my point is, after the first two drives, it was,
you can't take them out.
You're telling me the run game was effective after the first 2 yards? Because if you look at the stat line of 160 yards, whatever they ended up having, you'd say, oh, they ran the ball well. I don't think they did.
Well,
because
after the first 2 series, that they ran the ball in a dominant fashion, but they ran the ball well enough to keep manageable third down opportunities, which they did. They were manageable third downs to make. And the problem is that once you got to third down, you were at 27%. That's not good enough. You know, but the running game accomplished that, getting you to manageable third downs.
So, to recap, the running back might not play. The wide receiver could be out. The center's not playing. And the quarterback might not be the answer. So, all's well with the Jacksonville offense right now, it sounds like.
They are 3-3.
It's true, right?
Hey, it could be worse. It could be the Oakland Raiders at 2-4.
That's a true statement. That's a true statement.
With a quarterback with a bad back.
And he does not look good.
We'll get into that game coming up. We'll come back and get into the offensive line for the Jags. How has Shatley played in place of Linder? How has the rest of the group played so far? We'll get Tony's take on that. And the Colts group up front. How have they done in the run game so far? We'll break all that down when we return. Also, tonight's Thursday night football game, the Chiefs and the Raiders in the AFC West. Check out Jack Anania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman in Jacksonville. From Oakland, California tonight, it's Tony Buscelli for Thursday Night Football, the Chiefs and the Raiders in the AFC West. We'll get to that game coming up. Jags-Colts this Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, a game the Jags need desperately. 3-3, tied for first in the division. Behind the Tennessee Titans, who have a 2-1 divisional record, by the way. But it's a 2-4 Colts team that doesn't have their top quarterback. They've got question marks all around the roster. It's a game the Jags feel like they should have this week in Indianapolis. Let's, Tony, go to the offensive line now for this Jags team. Brandon Linder still on the injury report with an illness. Has not practiced again this week. Tyler Shatley has played the last 2 weeks at center. Overall, how has he filled in at that position?
I don't think he played as well last week. He's fine. He's not a liability or anything, but I thought protection was an issue last week, but not just for Shatley. I thought in the interior three struggled protection-wise, and even Cam Robinson a little bit, giving some soft edges to Robert Quinn, but they struggled. Amame, we thought he would, struggled with Aaron Donald one-on-one a couple times, and then the twist game, they got on different levels and gave up some hits, and I thought it affected Blake. Watching Blake, and I think it's been the last couple of weeks, he has not looked settled in the pocket, and he's getting hit a lot. And then what that's causing him to do is to move earlier than he has to at times and missing things. I thought there were some things down the field that he could have hit, but because of feeling pressure or being hit throughout the game, just getting out of there a little quick, and that's on the offensive line ultimately. So I did not think they played protection wise. I thought they ran block fine. I mean, the reality is you're running into eight and nine man boxes. There's only so much you can do. So run blocking, I was fine with it, but I thought there was some leakage in the pass game.
Yeah, and I don't want people to think that you thought that Shatley had a bad game. What a bad
game. No.
He played a good game, just not as good as what he had in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, to kind of, I don't want to say give an excuse, but to give a reason for some of the protection issues. Look, when they came out in that, you know, 4-4 defense, 6-2, whatever you want to call it, I mean, now you're man-to-man. You know, and you're blocking a guy and you're trying to focus on a guy. And Tony talks about the twist game, which is where you get two, sometimes three guys stunting. Mm-hmm. It makes it more difficult, you know, when you've got that many guys on the line of scrimmage. You know, so the reality is that, you know, you want it to be better. It needs to be better. But you also kind of understand why. And part of that twist game and the concern with that and the reason for some of that was Aaron Donald. I mean, the guy can play now. I mean, he's one of the best defensive tackles in the game.
Good player.
And when he is involved in a game, and he's the first guy to go, the first one up the field, you know, and that's where Shatley got one, which the outside linebacker Connor Barwin got a sack because, you know, Aaron Donald's on Shatley and he's up the field. And if you're Shatley, you're not worried about anybody but one guy, you know, and that's Aaron Donald. And so that multiple defensive linemen and linebackers on the line of scrimmage, I don't think helped things much, that's for sure.
On the edges, Cam Robinson is, at least so far early in this season, six games into his rookie campaign, has shown flashes of a dominant player at that position. Would you agree with that, Tony?
He's played very well, and it's one of the reasons I said what I said, where I thought he had some plays that weren't up to his level because I expect him to play at a really high level because that's what he's shown. And so it's interesting, at least I do, the better a player is, it's almost like the more critical you become because you have such high expectations for him. And he, in my opinion, is that type of player. He has that type of ability. He is very good in both run and pass, his size, his athletic ability. And I think the favorite thing about Cam Robinson for me is he plays with an edge. There's a nastiness about him. I think he has the right mentality. He plays the game the right way at that position.
Let me say this about Cam Robinson. He run blocks better than Joe Thomas maybe ever has, with the exception of maybe
that's not
one year.
That's not the highest standard, Jeff.
I mean, a lot of people might be shocked to hear me say that because, I mean, Joe Thomas has been to the Pro Bowl every year of his career.
Anyone who knows football understands that's not saying anything, though.
I know. Well, there was one year that Joe Thomas and Tony, you remember, it was Mike Pettine's first year. We were like, holy cow, Joe Thomas is actually run blocking. But, I mean, literally, Cam Robinson is a very good run blocker. He finishes guys and he moves guys. A lot of left tackles in the league just kind of get in their way. And he moves guys, you know, like Tony used to. And that's very impressive to watch and athletic enough to be able to block, you know, some elite pass rushers. But Tony was right. You know, he gave up a couple soft edges and pressures. But, look, you know what? Where he's at right now, been fantastic.
Cam in the locker room this week was talking about his nastiness and his edge and where it comes from. And he said it really – he's always played like that. It's just something inside of him. Tony, you were that kind of player. I mean, where does that kind of mindset, mentality, anger – thing come from?
I have no idea. It's how it's how I was taught to play the game. I mean, it's my personality, I guess. That's how he was taught to play the game. That's his personality. I mean, people ask all the time, is like, can you teach that? I'm not sure you can. I'm like, it's either who you are or you're not.
It was like Warren Sapp used to say, Tony, he said, sometimes a dog bites and sometimes a dog doesn't.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I mean, that's just who he is. I mean, I don't think there's, I don't know, maybe there's some, maybe something happened when he was a kid. Maybe some, there was a traumatic experience when I was a kid that made me mad. I have no idea. It's just how, from the time I can remember, that's how I was taught to play the game. And obviously he, something similar happened, or just personality-wise. I love it. I love watching him play, and I think it's outstanding.
We can get to the root of this tonight, Tony. If you'd like to lay down on the couch, we can examine what happened in your past to really...
JP, I'm not laying down on the couch with you.
Pacelli's brain is the last thing in the world that you want to try to diagnose.
That's a good point.
I would not dive in there. I don't even like entering my brain. I don't recommend anyone else to go in there and try to figure things out.
This Jaguars defensive line against the Colts group up front, you know, it's a Jags pass rush that's been there all year. They have the most sacks in the league. They affect the quarterback a lot when they're in the situation to do so. They didn't in that late drive last week when they needed to get off the field in those third down situations. But it's a group up front that's had a lot of success this year. Calais Campbell, obviously, is number one playing
he's awesome.
At a high level right now.
He's fantastic. I mean, he affects every aspect of the game, you know, literally run, pass, you name it, even special teams. At some point this year, he will block an extra point or a field goal.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he's that type of player, and where he's at, I mean, he's on pace to have and is having a career year, which, I mean, you're talking about, you know, whatever you paid him, he's outplaying whatever you paid him.
What was it, 15 million?
Which does not happen. That does not happen very often in free agency.
No, it never does. I mean, for the most part, you overpay in free agency, and you understand that, and you live with that. You know, but he's phenomenal. And Tony, I said on the Doug Marrone show, they've got to get better performances from the other guys that are playing inside, or from the guys that are playing inside. I think Avery needs to play better. Malik Jackson needs to play better. When you have Sheldon Day coming in for Malik Jackson, he needs to play better. Paul Posluszny needs to play better. If you're going to stop the run, that triangle, okay, nose tackle, defensive tackle, Mike linebacker, they need to play better.
If I was the Colts, if I was any team, I'd get in my 12 personnel and 21 personnel. So either two tight ends, one back, or two backs, one tight end, two receivers, and I would run between the tackles until the Jaguars stop me.
And run zone.
That's the run zone. That's the weakness of this team right now. I run zone and zone boss, which is zone lead. I run both those, and I just keep on running it and 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 running it until they stop me. And if I can stay in a manageable score and downs and distances, I wouldn't stop. Because so far, this team has not shown it can consistently stop the inside zone.
Yeah, and here's the crazy thing, Tony. If you look at the Indianapolis Colts and look at their kind of breakdown, you would expect, you sign a quarterback right before the season, which is what they did, okay, and Jacoby Brissett. And he's a young quarterback. It's not like you went out there and you got – veteran guy like
Miami Dolphins.
I like him too, but he's young. He sometimes he's not accurate, and it's apparent. But with a quarterback like that, you would expect the Colts offensive coordinator to maybe dial back some of the game plan and not throw the ball as much. They throw the ball all over the yard with Jacoby Brissett. You would think that they would go more of a Jaguars type approach, running the football with three backs that they have. Two veteran guys and then one young guy that they feel very good about, but they don't do that, which is very, very surprising. And, Tony, I don't think they have the makeup to line up in 12 or 21 personnel
in
run
zone. They probably don't, but it's what I would do. I'd find it against this group because I don't want to drop back and throw against the secondary with the pass rush coming like it is. I mean, that's going to be a tough way to win.
All I know is that if pass rush-wise, Tony, I would take Khalil Mack and I would line him up on LaRaven Clark, who's going to be the starting right guard in this game.
Khalil Mack, is he playing for the Jaguars?
I mean, Calais Campbell.
I was about to say.
I'm like, what
that's
happened?
The next segment.
Thursday night football brain fart,
I'm like, I think Khalil's on the field right now getting warmed up. Is he flying
to Thursday night football. Calais Campbell, I'd line him up against LaRaven Clark.
Blockbuster coming next week.
Right. So, Jeff, let me ask you a question about these two offenses. For the Jaguars and Colts, which offense is better
right now?
Great question, Tom.
I mean, from the eye test,
right now
the Jaguars. I mean, they're scoring more points than the Colts, and they've got a dominant aspect, which is their running game.
Are they scoring more points? If you take away the defensive scores, are they still scoring more points?
It's kind of hard to do that. Because if you take away
24 points. The direct points that the defense is scoring.
It would be about, the Jaguars have outscored the Colts.
Okay.
It's 156 for the Jaguars, 119 for the Colts.
I think you're right. I mean, for a run game, they're dominant. The Jaguars are, and I don't think the Colts are dominant in any one area. But from a passing game, I take the Colts passing game right now.
And T.Y. Hilton doesn't hurt things. I mean,
no, but I'm saying, but that's the problem. That's where I get frustrated about our
right.
That you shouldn't be saying that if a team's playing with their backup quarterback.
That's right.
That's my point.
Yep.
Let's come back. We'll get into tonight's Thursday night football game, the Chiefs and the Raiders.
Khalil Mack is playing in that game.
He might suit up tonight.
Yes, he is. He's playing tonight, and he's a good player. But I haven't seen him being dominant on film yet.
We'll get into that when we return, and we'll pick some games. We'll look at how much I beat these guys by last week in the picks. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
A couple of events coming up for the next Jaguars home game, November 5th. The Bengals come to town. It's Daddy-Daughter Day. There's a pregame event at 10 a.m. And you can make memories, share your love of football, celebrate the Jags. A pregame tailgate with food and live entertainment. Packages available, 633-2000, or visit Jaguars.com. Also, a Jaguars Scouts tailgate that day at Met Park, 10 a.m. Pinewood Derby, rock climbing, archery, and all the rest before the Jags-Bengals game. Includes a ticket.
Archery?
Yeah. What? Well, you're in, I know.
I'm in.
Yeah. They might have
me in.
They might have like a fake deer out there or something for you to shoot at.
I'll take that.
I'm sure you will.
633-2000.
I'll bring my fake gear.
Yeah, it's in your backyard, right? Yeah. Throw it on the truck and bring it on down.
Kids have a lot of fun.
That's right. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Vaselli. Thursday night football. Tony, you're in Oakland at the Black Hole. First off, how is the crowd going to be with everything happening with the Raiders these days?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's early here. You know, a lot of tailgaters as I was walking in, and it's always an interesting group to walk through the parking lot. Halloween always comes early here in Oakland and stays late with some of the outfits that you see, and it's a rowdy group. But it's an interesting game. The Raiders have to be one of the biggest disappointments in the NFL this year. And as watching the tape, they do not look the same offensively. They're not explosive. It's interesting they made the change from Bill Musgrave, the offensive coordinator, last year, where they were one of the best offenses in football. And Todd Downing now, who was the quarterback coach, took over, and they're 30th in the NFL.
I mean, that,
ask Jack Del Rio.
That is a perfect example of a Jack Del Rio move.
So it's confusing. But here's, you know, if I was going to tell you, you had Alex Smith and Derek Carr as the quarterbacks. Alex Smith known as a what? Game manager? That'd be accurate? Yep. Derek Carr, young, future franchise.
Gunslinger.
Gunslinger.
Well, Smith has thrown the ball down the field a little more.
No.
Year,
he's
right?
Talking just about reputation.
Okay, sure.
Reputation. Sure. Yards per attempt. If I was going to tell you, one quarterback is averaging 8.5 yards per attempt, and one is averaging 6.6 yards per attempt.
Yeah, you would have thought that clearly Carr would be the one with the 8.
I ruined your punchline. Sorry, Tony.
Yeah, you ruined it. It's all right. Don't worry about it. I mean, and then you got numbers like Amari Cooper, big play guy. Down the field, stretch the field. He hasn't had a completion. A catch for over 8 yards in the last 4 games.
Now, Crabtree's been good now.
Crabtree's been very good. Marshawn Lynch has been outstanding in the first quarter, where he averages close to 5 yards a carry. After the first quarter, he's down by 3 yards a carry. I mean, it's just a very interesting. You watch, Khalil Mack, because they're playing from behind, isn't able to, get in that pass rush and dominate and take over games, because I don't think he's getting as many opportunities, because offensively, they scored 45 points against the Jets in week 2. The next 4 games, they've scored 53 total. I mean, they're just offensively, they're atrocious. Well, I don't know how else to say it.
They're not really good on defense as the rankings-wise, right?
They're better than they were last year.
Okay.
As far as points scored. But, no, they're not great in the secondary. They're one of the worst secondaries in football. They're okay. They're middle, 20th or so stopping the run. But they don't do anything outstanding until they get to the red zone. They have one of the better red zone defenses in football, third overall.
With a defensive-minded head coach, you would think that he'd be a little bit better on special teams. But, the Raiders have had some personnel issues on defense in the past. They acquired Navarro Bowman, who was signed on Monday. They said that he's going to start
in
tonight's game.
Wow.
Well, Jeff, you can't blame them. Their defensive, the linebackers – they were, Bruce Irvin plays, Sam, but really is more like a rush guy. And then you have Marquis Lee, a rookie fifth rounder, and Corey James, who was a second-year player, was a sixth rounder last year. That's your middle and will linebacker. Both hurt. Corey James might play tonight. He played a little bit, but Markel Lee was hurt. They were starting 2 undrafted free agents, or played the majority of the game last week, and Nicholas Morrow and Xavier Woodson-Luster. Undrafted guys. And they struggle. And they struggle in coverage. If you're a running back or a tight end, you play the Raiders, you have a big day. So it's not a great matchup, just because if you look at Akeem Hunt, and you got Kelsey, the tight end. The Chiefs are playing good. They had a tough week last week. But, with Kareem Hunt leading the league in rushing and one of the better receiving running backs out of the backfield, and Travis Kelsey, probably the best tight end outside of Gronk right now. It could be a tough matchup for this Raider defense.
Yeah, and the other thing that makes the Kansas City Chiefs challenging for linebackers is when Andy Reid has the threat of Tyreek Hill on.
And he's all over the place, Jeff. They motion him.
Always like
the
with motion, reverse actions, the jet sweep stuff. That makes linebackers hesitate. And just like the Jaguars this past week with Tavon Austin, I thought his presence kind of interrupted the rhythm a little bit on the Jaguars' run defense. And, You talk about stressing linebackers now, Tony. That will stress them even more for a group that hasn't been very good.
Yeah, no. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Now, the Chiefs aren't any good on defense either, by the way, though. They're better. Their scoring defense is okay, but they have one of the worst rush defenses in the NFL. And Le'Veon Bell rushed for 177 last week against them. They're one of the worst in yards per carry and overall rushing yardage. And their pass defense isn't very good. It's kind of that old bend but don't break. But they're really good offensively. They didn't have a great week last week, but before last week, yards, points, run and pass, they're really good.
You know who else didn't have a great week last week? Tony Boselli in the picks.
Oh, really?
Let's take a look at the results.
You sure about that?
Oh, I am. I last week was 7-7. Lagerman, 7-7. Boselli, 5-9 a week ago.
So well, I feel bad for you guys.
So for the season, I'm
5-9. Yeah. How do you go 5-9? We're not even talking point spreads or anything.
There was a lot of crazy games this past week.
Some weird ones going on. Now.
I know, but still, that's ridiculous.
I'm leading the way for the season, 58-33. Boselli, 50-41. Lagerman brings up the rear, 49-42.
Oh, look at
but
that.
He's gaining on Bo. Gaining.
I'm going to pick more seriously now. I've been messing around.
Okay,
I'm going to start trying.
Okay, here we go. This is the first week Boselli's going to try. So let's start off with tonight's game, the Chiefs in the black hole against the Raiders. I'm taking the Chiefs. Tony.
I'm going to go to the Chiefs, but I wouldn't, you know, you got to believe sooner or later the Chiefs offense is, I mean, the Raiders offense is going to come out of its the doldrums, and the Chiefs' defense isn't very good. Maybe this is the week, but I'm going to take the Chiefs.
And I'm going to take the Raiders.
It's not a bad pick.
Just because, I mean, they're at home, you know.
Yeah.
And they've been getting criticized, and, yes, the Chiefs had a tough loss against Pittsburgh.
It's circle the wagons time for them.
Hey, it's now or never for the Raiders.
That's right. The Buccaneers against the Bills on Sunday.
I'm taking the Bills.
Bills.
Okay, all the way across Buffalo for everybody. Panthers at the Bears. All of a sudden, Trubisky with Chicago.
That's fine. I'll still take the Panthers.
Okay. I'll take the Panthers.
Hugs? Yeah, I'm going to stick with the Panthers, even though I want to try to get one somewhere, but that's not the place.
Titans at the Browns. Yeah, somebody picked Cleveland last week again.
God, they're so bad right now that I'm Tony. Taking – yeah, Cleveland is not winning. So
I'm taking the Titans. I tried that.
You tried hard, didn't
weeks
you?
Two weeks in a row, no more.
Yeah, Tennessee's going to get that one.
They're going to be looking for a new coach and a new general manager for Cleveland here very, very soon.
Saints at the Packers. No Aaron Rodgers.
I'll go Saints.
On the road, huh?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going Green Bay at home.
I'm taking the Saints.
Okay. This is at Twickenham in London, 6 p.m. local time kick in London. Cardinals-Rams.
I'm going to go Rams.
I'm taking Rams, too.
I'm taking Arizona.
Cardinals been out there.
Too long.
Yeah, too long. And we've seen that that doesn't work.
That's a good point, but they do have AP now, and I'm taking AP.
Yeah, boy.
Let's go. Jets-Dolphins.
Where is that game at?
In Miami.
I'm going to go Miami. I think they carry the momentum.
I'm taking the Jets because I think Jay Cutler stinks.
Okay.
Yeah, I do too. Can I change? I'm going to go back. I'm going.
He can't do it again.
Sorry.
It's a Jets sweep for all of us, I believe, because that was pure luck last week. Ravens, Vikings in Minnesota.
Vikings.
Minnesota.
Yeah, all the way. This is Cowboys, Niners in San Fran.
Tough one.
No, Cowboys.
49ers.
Really?
Oh.
Really?
I'm going to take the Cowboys. They had a bye week.
Yeah, they did. And they've got the running back.
Too many distractions.
And they got the running back playing this week.
Mm-hmm. Too many distractions.
No, the Cowboys live in distractions. You know?
That's been the last 20 years of the Cowboys. That's what they do. Broncos Chargers in L.A. at the little place.
They're 0-3 at StubHub. So they get their first win at StubHub this week.
Against Denver, really?
Well, I'll say this. The Broncos are going to win a home game at StubHub.
That's a good point. So you're going Chargers, Tony. Is that what you said?
Yeah. I really don't believe that.
The Broncos are going to win a home game at StubHub.
I missed what you said.
There will be more Broncos fans there than Chargers fans.
That's a true point. Seahawks-Giants in New York. Seahawks for me, yep. Yep.
Seahawks. The Giants were just... You know.
They're bad. Bengals Steelers Pittsburgh. Oh. Pittsburgh for me.
I'll go Steelers.
Mm-hmm. I'm going Cincinnati. I need to pick another one somewhere.
That's great. That's awful somewhere. Pick. Yep. Sunday night, Falcons Patriots. Better not get a lead, Atlanta. Better close out a game, Atlanta. Mm. They won't do
Falcon
it.
Falcon at Patriots?
At Patriots.
Yeah, I'm going New England.
Yeah, no doubt. New England for me.
I'm taking Atlanta.
That's a bold pick. Redskins, Eagles on Monday night in Philly. Eagles are playing good football.
Philly.
Yep.
Philly. You know what? No.
Washington, hometown pick for Logs.
Just to make Joe mad, I am taking the Redskins.
Washington Redskins. Jaguars, Colts in Indy, Lucas Oil Stadium. Jags 3-3. They need this game.
Jaguars.
Okay. Tony?
I'm going Jags, but Leonard Fournette doesn't play. It's going to be tough, but I'm going Jags.
Yeah, he's a questionable.
I think Chris Ivory. If Fournette does not play.
I think Ivory can take up the whole slot.
Ivory and Yeldon will be just fine.
I'm going Jaguars. Jaguars all the way.
I'd take that pick, whether Fournette is available or not.
Okay.
Well, I'm picking him no matter what either, but I'm saying it's going to be closer without him.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see tomorrow. I mean, he said today, Tony, that he's going to try to cut tomorrow and see what happens after that. He hasn't practiced this week. Of course, Doug Marrone's not going to say anything publicly either way on that, but... it's the first time, as Doug said, that they've had this happen during a week. So he's trying to learn his running back when he's banged up during a week and see how he responds. And that takes a little time to do, Tone.
Yeah, you want to be smart. I mean, Jeff's right. You got a long season, but this is a division game, and you do have the bye. So I'd push it a little bit. I'd err on the side of being aggressive because you know you have a whole week off.
You're the other way, right?
Aren't you, Jeff? Well, I mean, look, if he's good to go, he's good to go. And I'm not saying you hold him out just because you hold him out. You know, you want to find out where he's at. But, look, when Leonard Fournette appears to be in that much pain because I can't get that image out of my mind, then this is not a small injury. This is an injury that requires some healing.
All right. We'll
see. And we're talking about foot ankle, right? Okay. Where, by the way, he's had issues in the past, foot ankle. Mm-hmm. Okay. So –
we'll see. Tomorrow is a big day. We'll see what happens on the report. Tony, have a fantastic call tonight in Oakland.
We'll see you soon.
Have a good call.
Black hole in Oakland. Not a very good pregame food spot.
No, by the way. You know, the nice thing, and I will say the best part about the Raiders broadcast position as far as visiting radio goes, you literally can leave the visiting broadcast booth and go straight out of it, which is only like 4 or 5 steps away, and be at the bathroom right away.
Convenience.
Remember, the only reason I remember that is because I remember I had the flu out there for a game years ago, and there were some problems, and I could just retreat to the bathroom, and it was very close, which was convenient for me.
I think Charlie Finley popped the popcorn there.
The only thing fun about that stadium is being able to walk out behind the plate. You can see the dugouts. It's pretty cool.
And I will say that's the worst stadium in the league as far as players go. There was a game in which, by the way, the plumbing didn't work after a game that we played, the Jaguars, we played out there in the early days, and the entire team had to fly back unshowered.
Sweet.
But I had hurt my knee in that game. Thank you, Don Davey.
It's true.
And I had gone to the locker room early and had a shower early, so I was the only clean person on the plane returning from that game.
We'll come back and go around the National Football League, read some other
people's
headlines.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's
thanks,
something
Al.
To remember. It's a smell to remember. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato at the controls tonight. Max Hockman doing Max Hockman things. Controls on Jaguars.com.
Yeah, Max Hockman things aren't necessarily a good thing. I heard some rumors.
It might be really good things.
Who knows?
Yeah, I heard rumors about it.
Yeah,
they might be true.
Things get lost around Max Hockman, is what I heard.
I don't even know what that means, but we won't go there.
What I heard.
Okay.
It's the rumor.
It's a word on the street. The Jags get the Colts this Sunday. We'll get to that game and get our final
we've
thoughts
been on
that
game
I know.
For the last
We'll get our
hours.
Final thoughts on that game coming up.
Oh.
Okay. It's a tease. Let's go around the National Football League. Steelers safety Mike Mitchell. He was the guy that Leonard Fournette said, hey, come get you some, big boy. He was fined over $48,000 for the dangerous hit on Alex Smith last week. Hit him from behind, hit him late, hit him in the lower leg. All that combined for a big fine.
Yeah, the fine was deserved. It was a poor hit. You know, Mike Mitchell is a very physical football player. He doesn't need to do that in a ball game. The question that I want to know is Anthony Barr fined for the hit on Aaron Rodgers because he needs to be fined.
Why?
Because he according to the rules the way it is now, he hit Aaron Rodgers, grabbed him, and then folded him and then drove him into the ground. And look, back in the day and years ago, look, that was totally legal. You know, he made contact soon after the ball was released, but the folding part and driving him into the ground, that's not allowed. And, look, the NFL lost one of its premier players, and it shouldn't have. If Anthony Barr had followed the proper guidelines that the league has established for the last number of years.
I don't know.
I don't know if he's been fined or not, but he should.
I don't think he has. From the last I just saw, I don't think that has come out. So who knows, man? I mean, if you look at it, and I've never played, obviously, but just looking at it as a fan – He hit him when they released the ball and then went down with it.
Right.
The question is, did he force him down late, right?
The issue
is –
because
you got to go down on top of the guy and hit him.
You know, look, as a former defensive guy, you know, I didn't like these rules, and I don't like it when they changed them. But the way that the league is trying to emphasize protecting the quarterbacks, and I get it. I mean, I don't know if you saw the effect – on tickets and the price of resale tickets because Aaron Rodgers is out for the season.
I can see that. Sure.
It's changed dramatically.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when Anthony Barr hits him, he wraps him, which you can do. Okay, you can wrap him. But he literally pulls him in and kind of lifts to drive him into the turf. And that's the kind of thing that the league has been talking about, you know, eliminating on quarterbacks. And, you know, if you're truly going to protect the quarterbacks, you know, that type of a play, I think, should be fined. Some of the incidental things that happen on quarterbacks, now, I don't agree with being fined because, you know, it is football, and certain things happen, you know, like
– like a swipe to the head or something.
Yeah, swipe to the head right. When he's trying to bat a ball, yeah. Or if he's getting blocked and he gets blocked down into a lower extremity, which is below the legal hit zone.
Which that is not – that shouldn't be fine. That's not a penalty if you're blocked.
But they call it.
Yeah, they shouldn't, though.
So, right. You know –
there's an emphasis on protecting the lower leg, yes, but if you're blocked into him, you're blocked into him.
Also, sometimes when you have defenseless receivers and a receiver catches the ball and then is anticipating contact, lowers his head, and it's down into where the defender is trying to target, you know,
where the
midsection
chest was before,
chest is,
right. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you make contact to the head. Well, I can't control his body as a defender, so I don't agree with that, but in this instance with Anthony Barr, yes, I think he should be fined because he folded Aaron Rodgers up and he drove him into the turf with all his body weight.
Speaking of injured quarterbacks, Teddy Bridgewater feels like he's going to play this season. He returned to practice on Wednesday for the Vikings. There's a three-week window to activate him or place him on the PUP for the rest of the year. Teddy Bridgewater getting
close.
Well,
congratulations to him. I mean, you're talking about a guy that had a major knee injury.
It's a dislocated knee, right?
I mean, a horrific knee
injury.
There's
guys that lose legs over that, right?
Well, I mean, yeah.
In the extreme cases.
And, you know, the chances, I don't even know if anybody's ever come back from something like that. I mean, you're talking a crazy injury. And so just to get back out on the field and where now the Vikings are going to have a window that he gets to practice in, I mean, congratulations to him. It's good to see him back. And you know what? At some point, I do know that Sam Bradford has got a knee issue.
Yes, he does.
And had a pathetic performance not this past weekend, but the weekend
still
before that.
Still looked hurt, too.
Yeah, so you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Teddy Bridgewater. But, I mean, he's already won. Just getting back out on the practice field.
Injured quarterback segment continues with Jameis Winston. He was back in the practice field today after resting on Wednesday. He was injured in the game last week.
Yeah, and I think he read something today that he said he's fine. Look, Jameis Winston's a tough guy, and he's trying to get that football team kind of back in the right direction. I expect him to play. I don't think that'll be an issue.
There you have it. The look around the National Football League. Look around the injured quarterbacks of the National Football League.
Yeah, look, I mean, you got to keep them healthy, you know. The loss of Aaron Rodgers hurts the National Football League. Look, it hurts business. I mean, this game is a business. And when you lose the marquee players, it's bad for business. And any way that you can protect the Aaron Rodgers and all the quarterbacks, you need to do it.
One final thought around the league off the field this week, the league meetings in New York. There were a handful of owners, some alumni players, some current players.
Yeah, don't ask me about the anthem issue because I don't even want to go there.
Right, but there were meetings before the league meetings that happened this week, and you can read all everything that came out of that, a lot of reporting on that in New York.
I'm a strong believer in that those things don't mix. Sports and other things are not meant to be together.
Well, they're together, whether you like it or not these days. That's the way it is around the National Football League. So, the Jags and the Colts. It's a game the Jags need. They need it bad. It's 3-3. They're tied for first. The Colts are what they are. They're 2-4, and they don't have their starting quarterback. And those chances where Andrew Luck is not around, you have to take advantage of.
Gosh, you look at the series record, and the Colts lead the series 22-10. And a big part of that has been the performance of Peyton Manning.
Yes.
The existence of Peyton Manning and then also Andrew Luck. And just to give everybody an idea of how big of a difference, you know, Andrew Luck makes, just to give you Andrew Luck's numbers specifically about the Jaguars, okay, his numbers against the Jaguars.
Mm. This ought to be fun.
This is 8 career games, 14 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 2 rushing touchdowns, a 95.8 rating. Mm. He has averaged against the Jaguars. You're talking about a quarterback who has 18 career come-from-behind game-winning drives for his football team in the fourth quarter of overtime. Tremendous football player. In his first 5 seasons, which this is his 6th, and he's not playing, but where he stands in the NFL history books, he's right up there with 2 guys, Peyton Manning and Dan Marino, as far as from a number standpoint. He's that good of a player, and I noticed that, like last year, he wasn't the same player. So you kind of wondered what was going on with him. Well, now we know. And will he be able to be completely recovered? It's a great question. I don't know if anybody knows the answer to that, but, I mean, they have invested a huge amount of money in Andrew Luck, a huge amount of money, $20-plus million a year. So you're not going to risk your franchise quarterback on a year in which he might help you out. You don't even risk it in my mind. I'd be surprised if he plays at all this year.
Interesting. We'll see what happens there in the next week or two if they decide to shut him down. And he's definitely not going this week. Jacoby Brissett will have the reins this week for the Colts. The Jaguars come in with some question marks on offense. We've covered it all night tonight. But Linder's on the report this week. Leonard Fournette is on the report. Marquise Lee is on the injury report. It's a lot of starting players on the injury report.
Well, that's life. And, you know, and here, look, the Jaguars, with the exception of Allen Robinson, they've been healthy. I mean,
absolutely, yeah.
I mean, Brandon Linder, a couple games, the last 2 weeks, Allen Robinson. But for the most part, this team has been healthier than most other teams in the National Football League. And so, you know, when you have injuries, you got to deal with it, and other players have to step in, and other players need to raise their level of play, and you keep on rolling. The way it works.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
So if Marquise can't go and Leonard Fournette can't go, obviously Chris Ivory will step up. T.J. Yeldon will step up. Don't ask me who's going to step up from the wide receiver group.
Who's going to step up from the wide receiver group?
I have no idea. Somebody needs to.
Yeah.
But the problem is we've been asking for that group to step, somebody to step up. So far this year, and really nobody has stepped up yet.
Logs well done. He's going to win an Indy.
Yeah, and I'm going to dominate you on the picks this week. I can tell I am going to own you, and I am on the comeback.
Stop it. Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato, for the big mouth, Jeff Lagerman over here.
Oh,
I'm JP Shadrick. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.